Okay, let's repeat what I started. If you've ever been in a court of law or seen a courtroom trial on TV, all raise your right hand. Yeah. Vicki, is that your right hand? Okay. And what do witnesses say before they can testify?
I do.
They have a bailiff who comes forward to the witness stand, right? Normally the person puts their hand on a Bible, or at least they used to. And hopefully some states still allow that. But they say, do you solemnly state or swear that the testimony you are about to give in this case, now pending before this court, shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And so they get people to give a positive, you know, an affirmation that I think really kind of stirs in people's heart that, hey, I'm in this legal realm, and if I don't tell the truth and it comes back to haunt me, then I could be charged with a crime. It's called perjury. Well, I want you to take your Bibles and look to John 18 tonight, because there's a statement, I believe, that continues to ring as true today as the day it was spoken in the first century. And it's really a timeless question that continues to be asked today and challenged, as it will continue to be in future generations. So the specific record I want to look at tonight is in John chapter 18 during the so-called trial of Jesus Christ. But that is a topic for another day. So in John 18:27, in verse 20, let's start in 28. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter into the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So verse 29, Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Sounds a little sarcastic to me. It's like, you're questioning our authority? I mean, hey, look, if this guy was innocent, we wouldn't even be here. Verse 31, Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." And the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. We're reading from the ESV, verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Verse 37, then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And here's what I want to really focus in on tonight. Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" So the inevitable question arises. Of course, reading this today, we know who and what he is speaking about because our eyes have been opened. But Pilate, like many of both his day and time and today, have had and continue to have their eyes and minds blinded by the god of this world, who is the devil. So take your Bibles, if you would, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, or just listen, whatever you choose to do. But boy, what a great question that continues to come up. And how many people say that? Well, that guy's not telling the truth. Well, he's not telling the truth. That's not true. That's not right. And so it just on and on and on it goes. And Pilate says to Jesus, "What is truth?" Now, isn't it ironic that he is speaking to Jesus Christ, who declared himself, "I am the way, the what? The truth and the life." He was speaking literally to the truth, the word of God, which also says in John 17:17, "Thy word is what? Truth." He was speaking to the truth and didn't even know it because his eyes were blinded by the God of this world, just as people's eyes and minds are blinded in today's world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So that pretty well explains the reality of what we're facing in our current time and really what's been going on since the fall of man. But Jesus Christ really uncovered the work of the enemy and opened people's eyes to realize there is a God of this world. Call him what you will. Satan, the adversary, the devil. A lot of people have a lot of different names for him. But it is he who is working behind the scenes, kind of like the Wizard of Oz, pulling the strings. But you know what? The devil's power is limited. So we have the ability as born-again sons of God to work in partnership with God to help in assisting to break those chains that really have people in bondage. And so we're chosen by God. We know this, and we're commissioned by Jesus Christ. Paul had, and we have too, a great mission to fulfill. That's why when we help people to understand the scriptures and we love them unconditionally with that agape love, then we are helping, like I said, to break the chains that the enemy has held them in bondage with. Amazing truth. You know, I always love the verse in Hebrews chapter 2 that said, "Who himself likewise took part of the same, that he might deliver us from the fear of death, from him who always held people in bondage through that fear." Jesus broke that. Now, do we still deal with death in a physical sense in this world? Well, yes, we do. But can he ever again rob us of spiritual life? No, he cannot. We have been delivered 100%, completely by the work of Jesus Christ. And that's one of the great realities, that now that finished work has been done on our behalf, which allows us to then come into the throne room of God's goodness and grace and have a relationship with Almighty God. We were talking about this just today, how that is the beauty of what Christ has accomplished. Yes, we walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. Yes, we've had the promise that we can do all and more that Jesus accomplished. But that springs from the relationship that we have taken some time to develop with God, our Father. And you know what? Some of these things take time. But all we have to do is turn to God. And he can speed up the process as long as we have the desire and the willingness and will be obedient to what God is telling us. Well, I'll tell you, hearing from God, that says it all right there. We want to be in a place where we can really hear from God, be sensitive to the voice of God, and then have the willingness to follow through on what it is God is sharing with us and showing us to do. I want you to look at Acts chapter 26. And this is a great record. We won't take the time to read all of it. We're going to start in verse 15. But this is Paul speaking to a gentleman, King Agrippa. And in verse 15, this is Paul giving his testimony of what has occurred in his life to change him from this man of terror, let's say, one who was helping to either kill or have Christians incarcerated with a smile on his face. But he had quite a transformation. In verse 15 of Acts chapter 26, it said, "And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you." This is Jesus speaking directly to Paul. He is witnessing to Paul on the road to Damascus. And then he has this great, great sharing in verse 18. "I'm sending you to do what? To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." That is really the foundational truth and the scripture verse upon which Acts Now Fellowship is based. And we went back and forth, but you know what? When the truth comes to the surface, it's like, that's our mission. That's our goal, is to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light. Just like we did when somebody first witnessed to us and spoke the word to us. We may not have known at that moment that was what was transpiring, but God had a plan that was far greater than anything that we could have put forth. And here in John 17, again, back there, "Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth." And it's that word of God, whether it's written, whether it's spoken, or whether it's received, that sets those captives free and break the chains of the enemy. Remember that great song by Zach Williams? Chain breaker, chain breaker. That's what spiritually we have received as a result of all that Christ went through. We don't have to now be in a place where we martyr ourselves to break our own chains. The work has been done. Our thing is in realizing that we can exercise faith to appropriate all that's already been accomplished on our behalf. That's a beautiful day. It's a great thing. I mean, I remember years ago when I first heard this truth, I just took such a deep breath because I felt the pressure's off of me. Jesus paid the price. He took it, my place. And so now I get the joy and the privilege of receiving all that God has for me and accepting it. Yes, God does love me in spite of my weakness, in spite of my frailties, in spite of me. And God has enabled me to love myself because of what the Word of God says about me, not how I feel about myself. Okay, because if that's the standard, then, you know, tomorrow morning I'm staying in bed. I'm sorry. That's it. Because it's all about what we have received. And we're authorized by God. We're empowered by the Spirit. And we're commissioned by Jesus Christ to go forth and to be what? Witnesses to all the world. All the world. We're empowered with the Spirit. And I love when we're taking this message of truth, which God so wonderfully states in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. You could probably quote it as I'm getting ready to say it. This is in the ESV. It says, "For the word of God is living and active. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart." Wow. Talk about a word of truth that can really bring reality into existence in a dark world. Word of God, it's living, it's active, it's sharp, it's piercing. Somehow it can divide between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so the question now remains, in light of what I've been really able to share, I think, and that's, I guess, what I've entitled this teaching tonight is, now what? Now what? Well, look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, familiar verse of scripture that was spoken by Jesus Christ himself on the day of the ascension, before Pentecost. There's a promise that's being made. And it comes to our mission statement. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I'd say when the Holy Spirit is in you. I'm reading from another translation. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Where are the ends of the earth? Wherever you are. They're in Juneau, Alaska. They're in San Diego. They're in Norman, Oklahoma. They're in Romania, India. There's Texas. There's no limitations to the God. Is the God of the impossible. He's going with us everywhere we go. We are empowered with the Spirit. So now what? Well, you guys have a rare opportunity there in San Diego because I know you're getting ready to embark on something there with Allison coming into town. And I know her heart is really to put into action and to put into practice this opportunity that it so wonderfully exists. To do what? To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. You know what? We've got nothing to be afraid of. If people say no or they reject whatever it is you're saying, it's not personal. It's not that they don't like you as a person. They're rejecting the truth of the scriptures, see? And we look at that parable of the sower, you know, and the responses to the proclamation of the word. You know, some fell by the wayside, some birds came in and took and that sort of thing. There's a lot of things, but, you know, as we get this word of God into our hearts and into our souls, it's like the people in Acts there in the beginning, he said, how can we not but speak those things which we have seen and heard? That's exactly our life story. We want to see the activeness of God. And we're partnering together with him to do that. We can't just sit and wait. We have to activate. We have to be part of the process. So when the opportunities come your way to bless people, to share whatever's in your heart, take it. Take the opportunity. So now what? Take the opportunities that are right there in front of you to help in this process of reconciling men and women back to God. We are no longer asking that question, what is truth? But you know what? There's somebody out there tonight with the gun to their head maybe, or something else happening in their world that is causing them such great agony that you and I are the answer to life's struggles in their situation. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy and privilege of being able to hold forth these scriptures. And Father, may we all rise up. And we rise up because we understand more about how much you love us, how much you care for us, how much Jesus did on our behalf. And we don't walk forward in our own strength to win the nations to the word, but we walk forward in the power and the strength and love that we understand, and I guess it's kind of an evolving thing that we understand it, but put that great passion in our hearts, Father, to be the men and women that you've called us to be, and that as we draw close to you each and every day, every moment of every day, Father, that, like someone said recently, love oozes out of us. It's drawing people to us. And we're thankful that we have this opportunity to speak the truth, live the truth, and fellowship with a God of truth. And we thank you for this tonight, and all of God's people who are on the phone here, who are hearing this message, that it may be a wonderful blessing for them. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen to that.